أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم and good evening. Welcome to On The Couch with me, Farida Rabia and Sokin Sinzi. On The Couch aims to unpack and deal and confront those issues we often don't want to address, but issues that affect you or those close to you. This is where you hear the difference on 100.4 FM. Now, according to breast health specialist, surgeon Dr. Fatima Hussein, studies have shown that major depression affects approximately 25% of breast cancer patients. However, there is good news. It is recognizable symptoms that is treatable. So today we explore breast and mental health with Dr. Fatima Hussein. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Fatima Hussein. Welcome to On The Couch.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran to you and to your listeners for having me here tonight.
How are you feeling this evening?
Alhamdulillah, it's been a good day. So good, shukran.
Alhamdulillah. So this is an interesting topic, the link between breasts and mental health. If you were to summarize it in non-medical terms, how would you summarize it?
Look, mental health and breast cancer, I don't think the two can actually be separated. I think when anyone gets a diagnosis or is anticipating a diagnosis of breast cancer, even when they have to just go for the usual screening mammogram, there's always a little bit of anxiety and fear of what that result may entail, or what the treatment may entail. There's always a little bit of unsurety of their life. It's about facing mortality. How long the concept of a diagnosis of cancer always comes along with a mortality risk, that is a risk of dying. And people fear that. They get anxious about it. It worries them. They get depressed about it. They get really scared about it. And so it's to varying degrees. Just for some people, they're able to manage it and understand what this may entail, that there are options, there are treatments, etc. For other people, it's a lot to handle. And this can be that one extra thing that pushes them over the edge and is just too much to handle, and can be, it can manifest as a diagnosis or something that actually affects their quality of life. And when it starts affecting quality of life, then we say then it is a diagnosis, like a psychiatric diagnosis, like depression or anxiety along those lines.
So, sorry, what are some of the common psychological challenges faced by breast cancer patients?
So, like I said, it's about whether they're going to die or not. I mean, that's the first thing you hear. The first thing you think about when somebody thinks about cancer is, am I going to die? Is this thing going to kill me? So a lot of people, it's something sudden. It's not something that you had planned, obviously. Nobody plans to get cancer. And there's a lot of things going on. So you have a life. People have their kids, they have their families, they're studying, they have jobs, they've got responsibilities, and all of those things will be impacted. For younger people, things like fertility, whether they'll be able to have children in the future and how that may be impacted in the long run. That is another thing that worries them. Their partners, will their partner love them? I mean, a lot of people still think that a diagnosis of breast cancer automatically equates to a mastectomy, or bilateral mastectomy. And then so they worry, is their partner still going to love them? Are they still going to be regarded as attractive? Are they still going to be the same woman that they were before? You're not ever going to be the same woman that you were before. You're going to be older and wiser and hopefully healthier once you have gone through your treatment. That's all I can say to that concern. But it's not like that. It doesn't play out like that in somebody's mind. It is much more complex. It's fear. It's stress about all of these things that may or may not be warranted.
I can only appreciate the older and wiser and healthier, because I think that's important. And it's interesting when you think about breast cancer survivors or anybody who has survived cancer or any sort of disease, how positive they are at the end, but the journey to getting there must have been very difficult because you, as you say, you're thinking, are you going to live? Or will you be able to have children? Are you attractive? Are you the same person? Are you going to be a different person? What are the chances of you even seeing tomorrow, for example, if your cancer is that bad? So I think it's beautiful to know that, you know, yes, this is life changing. And yes, you know, a lot of things can happen, but these are the options available. And out of these options, you can be a lot wiser and more mature, and you can see the world more differently and have a great sense of appreciation for the world and your life, for that matter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better.
So now, in your experience, how often do you do breast cancer patients experience these symptoms of depression or mental health disorders? Is it right from the beginning, from the diagnosis, or is it, could it be that they've had mental health issues and this just adds to it?
I think a lot of people, it's a little different between the private sector and the government sector, but I think in for the most part, it's not something that somebody comes in with. Even if they have a mild or even if they are suffering already from something like depression or anxiety, a diagnosis of breast cancer or any sort of cancer serves to further worsen the condition, or to provide another trigger for that person. It's more stress. It's additional. It's an additional something that person has to deal with. And yes, I mean, if you look at patients in the government sector, people tend to ignore the risk of the patient suffering from depression or anxiety or any other psychiatric disorder. It's often underestimated. But if you ask a lot of those people, I mean, there's at least 25% or not, if not more, of patients suffering from some form or other of some level of psychiatric or psychological disorder after having had a diagnosis. It's a lot to deal with. I mean like we said, there's a lot of things for, and I mean, it's another level for the government sector patients. It's an income thing as well. Either they lost to income, or they aren't able to go back to work, or even if they do go back to work, they may not be able to function at the same capacity. It has a major impact. And as we all know, I mean, the fastest way to getting depression or anxiety is to add financial issues to it. So there's a definite an additional aspect in the poorer populations that we must consider and take into account. But yeah, there's definitely a large proportion of patients who are not diagnosed, or not, we don't ask those questions, I think, as healthcare professionals. One thing that we must, at least in the realm of breast cancer, we are lucky. There's a lot of organizations like cancer, organizations that help and come and speak to the patients and give them a little bit of added support. Thankfully, breast cancer is one of those more well-known diseases, and so families and other women tend to rally around such patients, which is very important, I think, to help them get through this type of thing.
Support is very important, but I think more so, I don't think that, even for myself, and I'm assuming for a cancer patient, you're not thinking at the time when you get your diagnosis or maybe some tests or concerns from your healthcare practitioner that, you know, something might happen. But it's just a link between breasts and mental health, you know, because what if you are the most positive person? Right. And you just go about your day thinking that the sun is always going to come out. You know, every day is going to be a good day. It all depends on how you view the world, you know, and glass full, something, however they say that. So if you have someone who's that positive and looks at the world in that way and comes in to and gets a diagnosis or has this concern, does it then, I'm trying to understand the link, like how it, you know, now I have breast cancer or there are some concerns and now my brain is telling me all of these other things.
Look, I mean, we often see that the more positive and more hopeful we, I mean, that's a very important thing when we talk to patients, to offer them hope, even in stage four disease, to always offer hope and to try and whatever help we can provide to make things, to improve the quality and quantity of life, to give them the options and to provide a patient with autonomy over their own care. And yes, even the most positive patients are hit hard. I mean, it's a real challenge to stay positive in the face of being diagnosed with a deadly disease. But we do see that the stronger, the more willing you are to fight for your own life, the more willing and hopeful you remain, the more positive you remain. I think the lesser the psychological impact, because one must remember that it's exactly as you said, the glass can, you can see the glass half full or you can see the glass half empty. And if you're a glass half empty kind of person, well, you'll always focus on the negative things, and negative things tend to bring you a lot, bring you down and precipitate depression and anxiety. You focus on the positive thing. Okay, yes, there's a CT scan. Okay, the CT scan showed no metastases. I mean, that's excellent. That's an excellent result. That means this is still curable disease. That's excellent. Or even in the case of, I mean, we don't always have curable patients. Even in the case of metastatic disease, there is metastatic disease, but there's options. There's treatment options. They can still give me some treatment to help me and improve the quality of my life. I mean, focus on the time. We must remember that unfortunately, and there are people out there who end up like in the car accident. They don't have time to plan for their eventual demise. They don't have time to say goodbye to their families. They don't have the time or the options to put everything in place. And that is maybe perhaps, and I mean, death always needs some excuse. We must remember that we all will eventually die. But this is a way perhaps for some people to look at that they've been given a little bit of time to plan appropriately for that eventuality. There is always a positive aspect of it, and we must focus and always try to bring the patient's focus and or our family members' focus, whoever is suffering from that, from the breast cancer, to that positive, to look at the positive spin on the disease. It's like we have just mentioned over and over again, it's a heavy diagnosis. It does come with the mortality risk, absolutely. But not everybody dies. Really, they don't. The vast majority of people do survive breast cancer. And that is something that that's a take-home message. That's what we must focus on trying to survive. And yes, people who are more positive tend to come out a little bit better on the other side. And maybe that's what we need to try and encourage.
100.4 FM, this is On the Couch. We're speaking to Dr. Fatima Hussain, who's a specialist surgeon at Afal State Hussain and Associates. We are speaking about the link between breast and mental health. So there is a study that indicates that that shows that a major depression affects approximately 25% of breast cancer patients. And so we are trying to unpack and understand this study. Now, Dr. Fatima, we've been speaking about, you know, different aspects to this particular challenge. And I think it's such a big insecurity to have, you know, because you're never sure. Whatever the chances are, you don't know if that chance is actually yours. And you only have, you know, like hope and support. But when we speak about that, what are some of the practical strategies or interventions that can help breast cancer patients manage their mental health during and after treatment?
I think there, first of all, there are lots of organizations that do offer support. And if you are finding yourself having difficulty dealing with a diagnosis, etc., reach out and ask for help. I think that is important. People don't ask for help, find it difficult to ask for help, or don't want to ask for help. And that is something that I think we need to teach ourselves, that we really can't do everything. And when you have got a diagnosis of breast cancer, there's a lot of things that you need to focus on. You have to make sure that you go for your appointments. Your health becomes a very important thing that you need to focus on. And that should be the primary concern, so that you can eventually go back to, you can get healthy and go back to your old, whatever you were, your old life, essentially. And in order to do so, one has to get all your support structures. Just ask for the help that you need to get through your day. Somebody can you get your family and friends involved, and get them to do the things that the extra things that you may not be able to do, instead of putting additional pressure upon yourself. So get them to take the kids to school, or ask your friends to help with dinner plans or something like that, maybe once a week or something. Get people involved in your support structure, involved in your healthcare, because remember, those are your friends, those are your family. They want to be there for you. They want to try, and often they don't know what to do, so they'll come into your house and they'll sit there and talk, whereas you can put them to good use. So that may be something that will make them feel better, and you feel better. Use your support structure, use the infrastructure, and of course your healthcare professional. If you're feeling like this is something that you are unable to deal with, you're not sleeping at night, it's majorly affecting your quality of life, you are angry all the time or having weird outbursts, this is not the way you deal with that normally deal with difficult situations, speak to your healthcare professional, your doctor, whoever's managing your breast cancer, your oncologist or your surgeon, etc., and have this discussion with them, because there's medications that we can provide, and there are additional professionals that we can refer you to. There's social workers, there's psychologists, there's psychiatrists. Nobody is saying, people are terrified to go to psychiatrists and psychologists and all of these people. It kind of they're worried that they're going to be labeled with a big label saying, I'm crazy. First of all, nobody knows that you're going to this doctor. Nobody needs to know that you are going to the doctor, to a psychiatrist or psychologist. That is between you and the psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever mental health professional. That's number one. Number two is that it's not at all, in no psychiatric diagnosis is a diagnosis of crazy. It's different biochemical based diseases. It's just like how diabetes and hypertension is, except that it affects the way you respond to different situations. And often it needs a tablet or some or two or three to help you to deal with those situations, to deal with the symptoms of that disease. So it should be actually not be looked at as a crazy thing, or I'm not normal or something along those lines. You're completely normal. You have a disease. You have a sickness. The same way somebody else may have a sickness of other hypertension, as I mentioned, or cholesterol. You need a different sort of medication. We need to take away the stigma of this disease, of psychiatric disease as well, and acknowledge it that it is a problem that affects many people. In order for us to move forward, we need to be able to accept that these things happen to people, and accept that getting help is important, and allow them that space and that confidence to seek that help.
Yeah, and accept that it can happen to anybody, you know. Life happens to
Absolutely.
everybody. So if there is if you do find yourself in a situation where I'm speaking as if I'm going to be as calm as I'm speaking now, but I imagine that if you find yourself in a situation where you do get the diagnosis, or you get the concerns, or there are tests that need to be run, that whatever the outcome might be, there must be hope and trust in the healthcare practitioner that they will be able to assist you further should you find yourself having these outbursts or not not knowing how to navigate life as you once did before you found out or got the information that you got. But the one thing that you said that I wonder if you could advise, often people don't know how to ask for help, as you have mentioned, and your friends and family do come over and try to support you as best as they can. But how would you say is the best way to go about it? You know, I suppose, you know, with such a disease, you might feel not ashamed, but you just feel like I'm near the end, you know, it's a 50-50, whatever the chances is. So how would you advise a cancer patient to ask for help?
Well, if you have people coming over and asking you, I mean, in general, people come over when they do, your family and friends, they always ask, what can I do for you? Is there anything that you need? I think that is the opportunity. That's the opening to say yes. Instead of saying, oh, no, don't worry. I mean, if you have a good relationship with someone and you trust them with your kids, obviously, I mean, you're not going to give your absolute most wonderful, most precious things to somebody that you don't necessarily trust. But what I'm trying to say is, people like your mom and your dad, your brothers, your sisters, those people are coming to you and they're going to ask you, is there anything that you need? Is there anything I can help with? Those are the people, if you trust them, say yes. Yes, you can help. I think I just need I need to be able to go for this appointment, etc. Call a family meeting or whatever, even if they, and ask them, listen, I need to be able to do this, but I also need to be able to run my family life. Is there anybody who can assist me so that I can get through my treatment and make sure that my family does not get neglected?
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be anybody out there who doesn't have at least one or two family members who will put their hands up. And we don't have to put all the load on one person. Get a roster out. You pick up the kids on this day. You do this on this day. You do that on that day. There'll be lots of days where you're feeling great on your treatment, etc. There will be some days where you, especially, I mean, the patients who are getting chemotherapy, maybe the first day or two after the chemotherapy, you're going to feel really awful. Those 2 or 3 days, make sure that your support structure, ask them, say, I feel really crap after the first 2 or 3 days of my treatment. Is there anyone who can just make, well, can I need to be able to just rest and recover. Is there anyone who's been willing to maybe help with the food for those days? Would you be able to bring over some, sort out dinner for my family for whatever, Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever? Ask for it. It does take a little bit of confidence, but you're really going through the worst of it already. You're being bold and brave enough to go through the treatment of cancer. This is not the time to hold back.
Yeah.
This is the time to, I mean, you're dealing with the worst of it. What's the worst that anyone else can say? No. That's the worst that they can say. And then you just know you have to find another plan. But if you don't ask, you shall never receive. And I think that's one thing that we actually, we're too shy to ask. But in the olden days, I think olden days, I call it olden days, but it actually wasn't that old. The days of my mom and my aunts and uncles, when they were younger, they were a community. I mean, we, all the kids who would, if somebody was ill or something, we would go stay over at my aunt's house while my mom was recovering. We really should be able to do that for one another today. It would make so, I mean, just think about yourself. What would you want in that situation? And I think that line comes, I think it's from the Bible and also pretty much said in the Quran as well, but do unto your brother what you shall do unto yourself.
Yeah.
And remember that everything that you do for somebody else is also thawab. You're getting the thawab of helping that sick person. And if that sick person makes dua for you, well, then that is a dua that gets readily accepted.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to lose here, to help and to ask for help.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think that it brings us to this next point of, you know, social support and human connection and how this can be beneficial for someone going through cancer and for their mental health. And I wonder what it might look different for everybody, but I don't know how gentle people are when it comes to cancer patients and the reality of cancer and what might be going on for that person, not just the mind but the body as well, and just the feelings attached to that. So the whole Ubuntu thing of family, you know, being able to assist, but is it more so important that a cancer patient has this during this time?
Absolutely, absolutely. It takes off so much pressure from them. And I think instead of going and just saying hi and taking a bunch of flowers, ask them, just that one car ride might actually be the one thing that they may need.
Mm.
Offer them something that they want, that they need, rather than something that you think that they want. And I think we really, really have to. Ubuntu is so important, and it is so fundamental to so many cultures, cultures and religions. It's been taught everywhere, and we are losing it, which is such a major loss. And it speaks to the increase in the amount of stress that we are suffering, and that in turn speaks to the amount of mental health disorders that we are seeing, the increase in the numbers. It's because we live far more stressful lives, and we live very apart from each other. We don't have that spirit of community. We're definitely losing it. And if we do, these are the things, the support, the humanity, that's what we end up losing.
Yeah.
And that does break you down. It makes things a lot more difficult to deal with.
Yeah, let's talk about self-image, because I think that's important. Body image and self-image and esteem. We do see pictures of cancer patients maybe losing their hair, becoming a lot skinnier, looking a bit not what they used to look like. And of course, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, but if you don't feel it and you don't look, and what the mirror shows you also indicates that what you're feeling is sort of true, that kind of breaks your self-esteem down and makes you feel a bit lower. What are the advices and tips that you give cancer patients with regards to if they are diagnosed with it, and the journey that they take?
You see, that's a very difficult question, because that's the thing that knocks people the worst. I think it's that, it's the looking into the mirror and seeing what was once, and that is now very, very different. And that's why I am a huge proponent of reconstructive surgery, because it does give woman that feeling of being complete again. That's the thing. It's not just in the head that you're not complete. It's actually physical as well. And we must remember that the breast is a secondary sexual organ to which we are quite attached. From, I think you remember as you growing up and you are in high school, I mean, when all the other girls, if you are the last one for your breasts to start developing, you feel shy. You feel very, I mean, I don't know, it tends to keep you back. You don't want to you don't feel complete yet. And as you grow older, obviously development happens. You identify with yourself in different ways. See yourself developing. Some people have big breasts, some people have small breasts, but whatever you have, you are very thankful for. And I'm sure whatever it makes you feel like, okay, this is me. I'm a lot of women look at their breasts a lot. And I would hazard to say that the vast majority of women look at their breasts and associate that with femininity. So when you lose it, or when they lose it, it is in a way a loss of their femininity, and femininity is actually what is fundamentally you. It's practically how you define yourself. For me, I am Fatima. I am a Muslim woman. Do you understand? I
Yeah.
am, and what makes me a woman? And it is obviously biological. I have ovaries. I have the organs which make me a female, and one of those is my breasts. And when you lose that, it's devastating. Some people deal with it a lot better than others. I think a lot for a lot of older women. I think it's. I see that in my practice. I see a lot that a lot older women tend to be able to deal with the loss much easier than the younger woman, and that's probably because it means also a loss to things like, being able to breastfeed. It also they are still very much sexually. A lot of women, I mean, prior to breast cancer in the younger age groups, and I mean. Whichever age you are, you're definitely sexually. Women of who are sexually active, they will worry if they are still going to be as attractive to their partners, and if that will be the same, and that does affect their psychological health. If that is bothering them, and that is the underlying issue. Obviously, there is the surgical approach. We would refer them for reconstruction, etc. But those people definitely benefit significantly from psychiatric health. Not everybody has access to reconstruction surgery, and for many people, especially in the government sector, it takes a lot of time to get into the system and to actually eventually get the surgery. For those patients, I mean, there is the bras, the prosthetic bras that you get, which for at least for the outside world, it looks like they still have breasts, but when you are staring at yourself in the mirror, unfortunately, that it still brings back that reality. But you must remember that those are your battle scars as well. That
Yeah.
is a sign that you have survived. That is a sign that you have fought for your life. And I think that is the message. When you look at that, that is the message you need to remember. Those scars mean I have fought. Those scars mean that I am a survivor. Those scars mean that I am still standing here today. And you have to look at the positive part of it. Yes, you are without your breast, but at least you have your life.
And life is way more important. I was just, as you were speaking, I was thinking, it's interesting. And again, because I'm not in that situation, so I can't really relate fully. But if one were to lose one's breast, and then you still have the other, and then you still have these options of these kinds of bras that you are able to wear, but that self-image. And I was thinking, is. Have we sort of, and I think this is a random question, but have we sort of reduced our femininity to our body parts? Because I mean, we are made of the XX chromosome that makes us biologically female, you know, woman. So it, is that something that we can sort of get out of, that we are more than just our body parts, and whether it's there or not there, we are still beautiful, and those are battle scars, as you say, we can, excuse me, appreciate and honor along our journey.
I think that's the message we try to get across to patients and to people who are breast cancer sufferers and who've had the mastectomy, that you are way more than just your breasts. You are way more. You are, if for those women who are already mothers, you are a mother. That makes you a woman. I mean, you can't bear children without being a female. If those women who are older and who are grandmothers, etc., you've done it. You've been a woman your whole life, and you've been, whether you had your breasts or not, you would have been there. You wouldn't have reduced who you are, at any point. Yes, you are not just your breasts or your ovaries or whatever. Just interestingly enough, on that same point, a woman can have a sterilization or a hysterectomy and oophorectomy and not feel less of a woman, and yet they can lose their breasts, and that has a major much greater impact on their self-image, on their impression of femininity. And yet the ovaries are the ones that actually produce the estrogen. I always find that interesting, and that's I try to explain that to my patients, and then they you can see there's like a little click there that they have this little realization, like, oh, you're actually right, eh? A lot of women have that hysterectomy and ovary. It's just you don't see the ovaries. That's the difference. You don't see the ovaries, but you do see the. You do see your breasts every day in the mirror. That's the difference. So we as women have to, I don't think we must not look at our breasts and think they're amazing and not identify with them and say, no, don't worry,
Of
I
course.
must live without my breasts or them. I don't think that. But we must realize that we are so much more. We are wives, we are sisters, we are mothers, we are grandmothers, we are professionals. We are so much more. There are so many other things, other aspects that define you, and those are the things that you need to that you need to focus on. You shouldn't just think that, okay, I've less my bre lost my breast and now I'm no longer, I'm less of a human being. You're definitely not. No woman is less of a human being because she has lost a breast. The same way nobody is less of a human being if they've had an amputation. It's not like that. It doesn't work like that. You are you as long as you believe in who you are.
So powerful. I think I also think the way in which we celebrate womanhood. I mean, yes, growing up, puberty, and all of that good stuff. That's wonderful. But to limit ourselves, I think we need to get out of that. You're more than just your body. You are the friend. You are the daughter, the sister, the aunt, the mother, the grandmother, and all of these different roles and hats and hijabs that you carry and that you put on, you're all of that. So one thing that, whatever your journey is whatever's supposed to happen on your journey, that is happening, and something has to be taken away for in order for you to live longer and fulfill all your other roles that you fabulously do, then we should celebrate that. And I think we should change the way we see ourselves as women just to our body parts.
I think that's a message that we need to get across to men as well, that a woman is more than just her breasts as well. I think that I think maybe it's an old school thought or whatever that, yeah, I think that's what a lot of women are worried about, that men in their lives or other men or whatever also associated with it. So it's not just for us. I think that should be the same message we'd be trying to get. We should try and get across to our male counterparts, the husbands, the grandmothers, the fathers, the brothers, all of those things, that a woman is much more, so much more.
Yeah, so much more. I totally agree with that. So, what would be your take-home message or advice that you'd like to convey to breast cancer patients who may be struggling on their journey of mental health, self-image, body image?
I think the message that I need to get across is that you must love yourself. I think all of this would be a lot easier to deal with if we learned to love ourselves. And I don't know, I probably read it in some book or other, but I think the issue comes in that people cannot love you until you love yourself truly. And that is what we must do. We must love ourselves enough to want to be here longer, to want to live longer, to want more quality of life, to be a better quality of life, to want more quantity of life, and therefore go for our treatments that we need, to ask for help when we need to, because we deserve the help. I mean, we didn't ask for this diagnosis. Nobody did. We got the diagnosis, and this is something that we need to deal with. We need to love ourselves enough to know that it is fine to ask for help, and to it is fine for us to grow and be better. It is fine for us to go through this. It is just a part of the journey. You cannot enjoy the good times without knowing the bad times. These are things that we need to, these are messages that we need to remember and absorb. And love yourself enough. Love yourself enough, and more people will love you.
I'm all about that. Love yourself enough and more people will love you. And I think that's a hard one. I think that's a hard one for anybody, and you don't have to be a breast cancer patient to struggle with this concept of loving yourself and then receiving the love in return. You know, what you give out is what you get back. But Dr. Fatima, thank you so much for speaking to us this evening. We look forward to more conversations where we can uplift and encourage ourselves, as you said, older, wiser, healthier, and I believe more powerful. Until we speak again, have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. That was Dr. Fatima Hussain, specialist surgeon at Afful State Hussain and Associates, speaking to us about the link between breast and mental health. Now, we said older, wiser, healthier, and powerful. So it's important to note that, however, that not all of these will work for everyone. And if you are showing signs of depression, it is essential for you to speak to your doctor and get medical help that you need. Remember, asking for help is not a sign of weakness, it is a sign of strength and emotional maturity.